Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan and Mr. Ben Reichle both have the day off, so I'll be handling things all by myself today. Hopefully I'll do okay. We got fantastic assistance, and that's with our wonderful producer, Mr. Rob Center, on the other side of the glass. So we appreciate everybody helping out doing their part today. We are going to introduce the show, and then we're going to enjoy Financial Friday. We're going to get our reaction to the jobless numbers that just came out and talk about the very high jobless rate that now exists in Snyder County. Of course, the Woodmode layoff is the exacerbator of that particular number, so we'll be talking about that shortly. Then Jennifer Rager Kay going to join us later in the show. We'll have some breaks during open phones when people can call in, and you can call in while our guests are here as well. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark at, you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. In a moment, we're going to hear from a businessman who's opening up a business in Northumberland. He'll be on the line shortly. But first, let's get our jobless reaction from Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, one of the founders of the Penn State Alumni Club around here, right? Is that true?
Just so everybody knows the background on that, Mark, is Sue Green is with us, and she's a good Penn Stater. The blood in her veins runs blue and white, and she just sold Mark and I some tickets for the Greater Susquehanna Valley Penn State Chapter Benefit Scholarship Fund raffle, and I looked at it, and it says 39th Annual Pig Roast, and I was remembering to everybody. I believe DJ Mapes from New Berlin and I roasted the first pig. And I said, geez, I'm way too young to be celebrating a 39th annual anything. But
how time flies.
Yeah, how time flies when you're having fun. Well, hey, first off, I have actually suggested today that we take our show and turn it on its head. Typically, we start with the breaking national news and then get to the local news if there's time. I will just say the national news, hey, I hit right on. If you notice in the to look for briefing, I said 164,000 jobs, it was right on, and the unemployment rate of 3.7%, right on. The only thing I didn't predict was the economist, it's not me that does this, was the wage increase at 3.2%, but that's where it's been for a few months now, so that one would have been easy to do. But really what I want to start with is almost with a heavy heart, we knew this day was coming. We knew that back on May 13th that a closing of a major employer like Woodmode was going to have an effect on our local economy, have an effect on our local job numbers, et cetera, and that day is today. And essentially what has happened is Snyder County has gone from about the fifth lowest unemployment, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from the bottom unemployment, or about 3.1% is where it was hanging in, to now the highest unemployment rate in the state on the county by county basis. That rate, by the way, happens to be 6.1%. We actually have a color-coded map as part of our briefing that we look at each month. And if you look at it, right in the middle of the state, right there at Snyder County is the darkest, which is bad. The darker you get, the worse your unemployment rate is. And right there is Snyder County at 6.1%. And just to give you some comparison, the only county that's even close to that, that's nearby, Luzerne's at 5.2%. Philadelphia County is at 5.0%.
Northumberland County, 5.1. Northumberland County is 5.1.
5.1 in Northumberland. So I don't don't know if there's anyone living that can remember when Snyder County's unemployment rate was higher than Northumberland's. But, you know, I think what this really underscores for us is the importance of resiliency. Now, we fully expect that in the outgoing months, that number is going to go down. But it really brings emphasis to what we've been talking about for now for years at the Chamber, is that we have to make sure that the skills that people have in the local area match with the skills that are required for the jobs in the local area. We know there's good stories to be told about the folks that were laid off with the closure of Woodmode. Many of those folks are being rehired. But we also read the articles and hear the stories about the individuals who are struggling. They're really having a tough time matching up their skill set. You know, if you do the same job for several decades and it's a very specific job, there's a chance that some of maybe your other skill sets have gotten a little rusty. And that's why, we talk to Sue every month about the Penn State Executive Program. We talk about her lifelong education efforts with Penn State. We talk about the community college efforts. We talk about the vocational schools. We talk about all of the different training options that folks have in place. And I think what really is important is that any of those folks that are on the sideline, whether they're laid off from Woodmode or if they are on the sideline just because they don't have the skills, today is the day to sort of wave your hand and say, hey, I'm over here, Coach. How can you help me out and work with some of the local agencies, local programs, and make sure they get lined up for the jobs that exist? Because we know there's still thousands of jobs in the valley going unfilled.
And Sue Green is with us from Penn State. She is the Penn State, she's the director of Penn State Executive Programs at the Smeal College of Business. Some reaction to the national jobless rate first. Any surprise there? The jobless rate nationally, 3.7% unchanged, as accurately predicted by Bob's Good Sources, 164,000 jobs created. Sue, some observations there, please.
Well, first of all, I guess I'm glad to see that. My thinking here is, and like Bob's, he's a really good coach with these little debriefs he gives us, and I appreciate it. I have some concern, what's happening with at the federal level with China. That might impact this down the pike. But right now, I think we're in a good place. It looks good nationally, and I'm happy about that, but saddened about what's going on locally, frankly.
Right. We're gonna get more about that local number. U.S. labor participation rate is up up on our screen as well. It is also up slightly, so you're always happy to see that. This is the very definition of bouncing across the bottom.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you've used that expression before, excuse me. What that's showing us, Mark, is that 37% of the people who could be, more than a full third of the people who could be in the labor force or for whatever reason are standing on the sideline. And we honestly don't believe that every one of them have won the lottery and don't have to go back to work. This, again, brings to mind the idea that we have a skill gap, and that skill gap, we have plans, we have mechanisms to fill this skills gap. We just have to do it.
So these are folks that are our age, 50s and 60s, who are choosing not to work?
Right. Let's review that again. So the participation rate is people between the ages of 17 and 64 who are able to work. So take out of that people that have some life situation that would not make it available for them to work. And for whatever reason, they are choosing not to. These are not all people that are sitting in the basement playing computer games, although if you remember last year, our economist, Anabar Basub, who, by the way, will be back with us on September 12th, blamed exactly the low participation rate on computer games, video games. I think that was slightly tongue-in-cheek. I think there's a little sliver of truth to that, but I think it much, much more has to do with folks that just don't have the skill set that is needed to be in today's labor force.
Or the interest interest, and then they have somehow have the ability to stay out.
Right. Well, there's a number of disincentives, and I don't think we want to start listing them, but there are disincentives in some cases for people to go back to work. But here's the one thing we know for sure. The only anti-poverty program that we know absolutely works, no question about it, is a job.
All right. We are talking with Bob Garrett, Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Sue Green is here. Sue, interested in elaborating. Now, we talked about the national jobless rate, this Snyder County rate. Tragic to see it go up to 6%, but we know for a fact lots is happening to help lots of people from Snyder County.
Well, I would agree with that. We've got a lot of resources in this valley, and like Bob said, it would be really good to hear from both sides. You know, we assume why people aren't coming to work, you know, their skill gaps or whatever they may look like. And what we know from the chamber, from our recent survey that we did back in March, that this is, just like Bob said, this is the time. So as if you've ever had any inkling that, first of all, if you'd like to start your own gig, start your own business, be an entrepreneur, we have so many micro businesses locally. There's so much access that Small Business Development Center, I can go on, the workforce development people. So I would encourage employer side, what kind of skills are you lacking? What kind of folks are you looking for? And use the chamber as a resource. You know, we have our business and education group and our committee. And if we don't know what people are really looking for, then how can we help?
But, and all of, strangely enough, our labor participation rate is as high as it is, or as low as it is, I guess, is what we really want
to say.
At a time when every business, everybody's hiring.
It seems that way, doesn't it? I actually thought that maybe when all those 1,000 folks coming out of Wood Mode hit the labor force, we'd see some of the help wanted signs coming down. I swear more have gone up. We know that in our general labor market area, we have 11,400 open positions. We know that for a fact. We know where they exist. We know that statewide is something in the neighborhood now getting near to 100,000 positions. And what is the number one ingredient to a robust economy is people willing to work. We talk about infrastructure, we talk about tariffs and trade negotiations, et cetera. But the most very basic ingredient is qualified workers and workers willing to come in and go to work. And we know there's people still standing on the sidelines. You know, this is one of those problems that if you have an easy solution, you don't understand the problem. It's very, very, very complex. One of the things I always like to say, Mark, is whenever there's a plant closing, really the very best way to deal with a plant closing is with a business opening. Now, we had a wonderful situation. We weren't happy that Wood Mode had closed, but within a week, we were able to announce Bright Farms opening and did a festive groundbreaking, et cetera, and that greenhouse is popping up out of the ground. That's very impressive. We have a small business person standing on the standing by to talk to us about a ribbon cutting we had last night in a town that quite honestly hasn't recently getting a lot of positive press.
We haven't cut too many ribbons lately.
And looking forward to that. You know, I was thinking this morning with all the good press coming out of Shamokin and the wonderful things that are happening there a lot of that has been put in place over the last couple of years with their announcement of the new critical care or urgent care center in downtown Shamokin. We have Charlie Malaro standing by to tell us about a ribbon cutting we had yesterday and a grand opening today. And this is just one of those examples where the best way to deal with a door shutting is a window opening. Best way to think of a plant closing is with a business opening. So,
right. So we're going to
set that up.
We're going to talk to Charlie very shortly here on WDKOK. Bob Garrett is with us and Sue Green. We will have an open phones segment with both of them present as we approach the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back now, as one of the people around here who's not inflicted with the problem of thinking small, Charlie Malaro is on the line. So we're going to be talking to him shortly here on WDKOK. It's Financial Friday, Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, jobless reaction, new jobs, and what's cooking in our regional economy. Snyder County now has the highest unemployment rate in the state. So that is thanks to Woodmode. And I guess you could say they drug up the jobless rates in some of the other counties around here. They almost inexplicably went up as well. So we can elaborate more about that. And we'll have an opportunity for you to opine on that as we approach the top of the hour and during the next hour. You're listening to On the Mark on WDKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We did fill out our Penn State Alumni Association raffle ticket. It's the Greater Susquehanna Valley Penn State chapter of the Alumni Association. Benefits a scholarship fund. I filled out one in Rob's name, one in my name, and one in, is if you get one that says my lovely bride, that's my lovely bride.
Got it.
So
thank
make
you.
Sure you know
well,
about
we appreciate
that.
She sent you along.
So thank you. I didn't have to buy the ticket. Thanks to Bob Garrett, who just flips $5 bills out of his wallet left and right like crazy. Everywhere he goes.
Mark, I have no secrets left now,
no.
Thanks to you. I've given up my age and my generosity.
I didn't give you your age. I said 50, us in our 50s and 60s.
Oh. Well, no, the 39th annual.
And you
announced I roasted the first pig.
39th.
And
it was,
I wasn't by myself.
49th, 59th. That would make you 62?
Well, it's a great cross. We're happy.
He says he's less than 62. That's all he's going to say about that. All right. Well, it's Financial Friday. All frivolity aside, we got serious things to talk about. Snyder County's jobless rate is big. We're going to open up the phones and talk about that. We have a forward-thinking business leader on the line. Bob, would you introduce our good guest, Mr.
Have with us Charlie Malaro. The name is probably familiar to folks. He and his wife yesterday, along with their children, it was a real Norman Rockwell moment on Queen Street in Northumberland. His beautifully dressed daughter and his son, who's a very handsome young man, cut the ribbon with the big scissors and with Charlie and his wife and family and about 30 of your closest friends, I think, Charlie, standing behind you. But, hey, tell us about the Queen Street of Shops in Northumberland, and I think you have a grand opening today and maybe even free pizza or something like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me here. I'm here with my wife, Tracy Malaro. And, yes, just like yesterday was very memorable. It was a great experience. My friends, everyone was there. You guys are all great, everyone that attended. I just want to say it's been great. The support of the community. What we're just looking to do right now is real simple. There's a lot of people out there, I know, listening to the segment, you know, with people with jobs down now and everything with the wood mode and all of that. Well, we have 38 vendors right now, and everyone in the store, they all have skills and talent. And these people I've been speaking with, the vendors, they all have things that they want to get out to the marketplace. They, you know, do a lot of craft, some do remodeling, antiques, and they just can't afford to go, you know, with the mall basically closing down, everyone's pulling out because they can't afford the rent and different things. So here it kind of gives them to do their individuality on what they can do and sell their products to the market now at a very low cost to get it out there. And so therefore I'm opening a place that has not just one place, but actually 38 inside of it. So it's going to let everyone out there, you know, because a lot of these people still work full-time jobs. Some are retired, you know, so it's a lot of mix in there. But a lot of great products, and everyone that went in there yesterday, it was a great turnout, and they got to see what people actually can do with their skills and talents that they're not of the cost out there.
Right, so walk me through the Queen Street of shops, 38 vendors. Not all the spaces are filled yet, but many are. Give us a walking turnaround tour of the Queen Street of shops. And if folks don't know where that is, it's across from where Lord Jim's Pizza was, across from Greg Stuck Attorney.
Subzoner, directly across the street from Subzoner Roll.
Oh, it's up in that block.
Fry's
okay.
Furniture.
Oh,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
right
in the wrong block here.
Yep. It's so you can fill your belly and fill your get all your Christmas shopping done, all those things. It's really neat. It's like a entrepreneurship on parade. But go ahead, Charlie. Tell us, Mark about what all's in there.
Yep. Okay. It used to be actually I found out myself. It was an old hardware, Kohl's hardware store. So if anybody knows that, I get a lot of people telling me about the history of the building. There's been quite a few other industries in that building that I have now. But yeah, you know, when you walk in, you'll just, like I said, you'll see a variety of different stuff that people make, sell, that is creativity. And I said, everyone that we had come in as vendors, I'm not making this where it's like going to a garage sale. I mean, these are actually people who take the time and they have a craft that they work on, and they bring their, like I said before, their individuality on each thing that they're selling. So they take pride in that. And so I get a chance to let them display it and make money by doing so and just getting it out to the market, you know, on a small scale. Eventually, I've shown people how to do it online even to get a little further exposure for themselves that are interested. But, yeah, it's just a great shop to walk into and hopefully get another one, make it bigger even.
So some people are selling antiques there. Others are selling what?
Antiques, handcrafts. My wife is great at this stuff, too. Give them a walk.
We have some aromatherapy, essential oils, homemade soaps, body scrubs, photography, artwork, homemade wooden meat vases and bowls, coins, so much stuff.
It really felt to me as I was walking around before the ribbon cutting yesterday, it felt like part art gallery, part craft show, part entrepreneurship showcase. So really, really neat place. I don't think any of us miss the fact that Northumberland's been getting really bad press because of the construction projects. And here, Charlie and his wife are right there, right where the construction is now finished. And you can get there very easily. In fact, yesterday at 4:00 in the afternoon, I drove right to it. No problem. Now, getting out wasn't as easy as getting in, but I drove right to it, no problem at all, and very accessible. Now, what do you have something going on today and something tomorrow at the Queen Street of Shops?
Bob, it's actually tomorrow.
Okay.
9 to 5 is our grand opening celebration. We're going to have some store prizes, and La Duca's Pizza outside of Northumberland is donating some pizza for us. Just as a snack for everyone as they're shopping.
What time does the pizza arrive?
Mark, let's get right to it.
That's an important question, right?
All right.
12 noon.
All right, I'll be there at noon. Talking to Tracy Malaro. She and her husband, Charlie Malaro, opened the Queen Street of Shops and the old Daddy McFatty. Rob Center remembers as the Daddy McFatty place. Before that, it was Kohl's Hardware, and before that, it was something else, most likely.
Is Bob there?
Yep, he's still on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him to keep that $5 and come on over.
Oh, yeah, hold on to $5. Yeah.
Well, Mark tells me he's going to take me to the Penn State game. That was a good investment of $5.
No,
Charlie.
I heard his wife's going.
Well, I'm getting season tickets, first prize. So, all right. Well, Charlie, thank you so much. Are you on Facebook yet, or you have a website in case we want to get more information about the Queen Street of Shops?
Oh, yeah, we're all over Facebook, and then we have a website, www.queenstreetshop.com.
All right, perfect. We look forward to that. All right, we will see you tomorrow. Thank you so much. Thanks for checking
in
today. Good luck in downtown Northumberland.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. So we got some folks who think big, see a vacant space as a place where other folks can set up shop, and they want to get something going there.
Well, a market really is, we talk about the pendulum in economics, and here's an example of the pendulum swinging the way we're trying to get it to swing. Mm-hmm. We want to fill all those empty spaces on our main streets. We want to get activity going again. Great news coming out of Shamokin. Great news coming out of Watsontown with Moran or Delaware Township. as it were, this morning. Great news coming from Northumberland as well. You know, I don't ever want to be the negative Nelly. I don't always want to be negative. You know, we saw this day was coming with the jobless numbers in Snyder County. We were bracing ourselves. I don't think any of us realized it was going to be quite this bad. But we're going to work our way through it, and we're going to get those folks back into the labor force as quickly as we possibly can, support them as we can, bring in new industry. You know, you make hay while the sun shines. Right now, we have a lot of interest in the valley. You heard about the state police barracks is growing. We got Bright Farms. We literally have projects in every corner of the valley.
Yeah, you got to get that. You got to get that contract, $21,000 a month rent, or $2,100 a month rent. That would help you out. So that's a good way to
go.
You sold the land. Well, good for you. You were already made out. All right. Well, perfect. You're in good
shape
then.
Money's in the bank.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're approaching the top of the hour now. Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, is with us. Sue Green is Chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce and Director of the Penn State Executive Programs in the Smeal College of Business. And we've been talking about the jobless rate. When we come back at 9:06, we're going to open up the phones. We'll get some reaction to the jobless numbers that are out. We'll talk about some chamber activities that are coming up. There's a lot more to talk about. And what are some of the resilient efforts of the workers at the Woodmode? We'll keep talking about them when we come back. And the phones will be open. That'll go till 9:20. We'll have news headlines, and then Jennifer Rager K is going to be here as a Democratic candidate for State House in the 85th District. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, and you're the star of the show by participating, so we'll have the phones open coming up. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time, 9 o'clock.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We're going to open up the phones right now. We'll do news headlines at 9:20. Then we'll have Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay here, a candidate for 85th District State House. She's a Democrat. The Republican is going to be here Wednesday. David Rose says he'll come in Wednesday morning to appear on our show. So we'll get a chance to talk to him next week. And then we'll invite them both to come on together. So hopefully they'll both say yes. Jennifer's already said yes. David's already said maybe. So hopefully we'll get a yes out of him and we'll get a joint visit in the weeks ahead. If you would like to contact us now, you can do so via Text Connect. You would send a message to 70236, and one of our listeners has already done that. So Bob will give that a quick look-see. 70236. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We'll see that email and read that email on the radio. We would love to see that. And you can call us toll-free right now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And you can email us at onthemark. It's sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Sue Green was here from the she's chair of the chamber. She had to really jam this into a very busy day for her, covering a lot of territory and a lot of places, so she's headed out to get that schedule continuing. But Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, is still with us this morning, so we appreciate that. Let's go globally, then locally. Reaction to the U.S. rate, really not too much to say about it. 3.7%, the same, 164,000 new jobs.
Yeah, let's review those real quickly for everybody. 164,000 jobs. What Mark is referring to is we do a briefing the day before this show each month, and the economists yesterday were suggesting about 164,000 jobs. So this is one time when they were spot on. They got it correct. 3.7% unemployment. You know, folks wonder, now how do you keep adding jobs and keep the unemployment rate right where it was? Well, that's because there's always people going into the labor force. Think about it. These are the numbers from June of this year. So think about all the students students that graduated in May and June from high schools and colleges, they were all going into the labor force while there's probably almost as large, if not larger, group of people coming out of the labor force, retiring, those kind of things. We're talking about the local numbers because of we knew that there was going to be an echo effect at some point in the numbers from Woodmode. But at the national level, what we heard was 3.7% unemployment rate. That's a historic low. We're now into the 50th year, lowest unemployment rate. You have to go back to 1969 to find a lower unemployment rate. And at this point, it's just technical. Once you get much below 4%, you're really very, very close to full employment. Wages up year over year. So from last July to this July, up 3.2%. One of the national announcers suggested that 3.2%. What are you bragging? That's nothing to brag about. It's nothing to be ashamed of either. The inflation rate has been staying right around between 2 and 3%. If the wages are up a little bit more than inflation, you're getting ahead in the game. What we are expecting at some point is this tight labor market is going to make wages go up. That will have some impact on inflation when it happens. That's that news you hear every quarter or so when the Fed gets together and adjusts interest rates. What they're trying to do is just they want to keep the economy rolling, but they don't want it to overboil. And they certainly don't want it to go cold. They don't want us to slip back into a recession. I think everybody is bracing. At some point, we're going to have to go into a recession. You know, the economy is organic. It's a living thing. And one day, the economy is going to slow down, but it's not going to slow down this month by the looks of what we have. The other thing we've been talking about, Mark, are the local numbers, and we've been spending a lot of time on Snyder County because the breaking news this morning is that now Snyder County has the highest unemployment rate in the state of all 67 counties at 6.1%. By the way, that's an 85% increase from where it has been the last 2 months. Snyder County historically is among the lowest unemployment counties in the state. But some of the others, just so folks know, Northumberland County is at 5.1%. That's a 9% increase from the year from the month before. Union County, where quite a few of the workers at Woodmode live in Union County, the owners live in Union County, they're up 32%. And then Montour County is up about 6%. Union County's rate is 4.1%. The Montour is up 3.3%. Keep in mind, in Montour County, a small county with a relatively small population, if it goes up 0.2% or 0.2%, you're talking about two dozen jobs there. So that's pretty much natural that happens. By the way, Montour County continues to be in that lowest 10 counties in the state.
Not too many people live there altogether, but everybody who wants a job there. Why wouldn't someone work today is a question that comes up from time to time, and I know the answer. You know, maybe they don't want to. Maybe a spouse earns a significant enough living. They don't want to. They can't change jobs because maybe they're earning $20 or $30 an hour now. Granted, there's a million help wanted signs up there, but there's no signs up for any jobs that pay $20 an hour out there. One of our listeners feels that, and she says, "So yeah, we have a lot of job openings. However, what do they pay? I'm here working two jobs to make ends meet. Sure, unemployment is low, but the jobs don't pay. Where are the jobs that will help me pay the $900 a month I need to pay in student loans?"
Excellent question there. And let me just tell you, I can meet you halfway. I feel your pain, if you will. I also work two jobs, and I have $27,000 per month, or $2,700 per month in student loans. So I feel your pain
out
there.
had student loans?
Have.
Because you're a young
four
student.
Children.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah, right.
That's right.
So,
okay, I'm sorry.
So I sort of know where the person
they're not
is
your
coming
loans
from.
Anymore.
I'm saying that, yeah, they're not my loans. My loans were paid by Uncle Sam. But, yeah, these are my students, or my children. But let me just say that I really feel this person, what they're saying. I think the best thing to do is stay with it. Get the training that you need to advance in those positions. As you move up in the company, you're going to make more money, and those student loans eventually will get paid off. This might be a good time to look at alternatives. Most student loans, at least the ones that I'm aware of, are now considered to be high interest. You know, if you're paying 7% on your student loan, why don't you give the bank a call? Say, hey, anything you can do to help me out? Because the prime rate is much, much lower than that now. Maybe you can refinance and bring those down, get them paid off a little bit quicker. What I would always say is that there's a range of positions out there, and I would take you to task to say there's plenty of jobs in the Valley that pay $20 an hour and much, much more. You know, $20 an hour is a $40,000 a year job. There are many jobs in the Valley that pay much better than that, but you're going to have the skills to match up with those positions, and that's up to the individual. And you asked about the participation. Why are people staying out of the labor force? There are very legitimate reasons why somebody wants to be outside of the labor force, and I'm not in any way browbeating or criticizing, and I hope no one feels that they're being criticized for making a reason for staying out of the labor force that is very valid. What we're saying is we believe there continues to be a significant skill gap among the people who could be in the labor force and the people who are currently in the labor force. And that's what we're working on. We just want to make sure that they have the ability through the new community college, through the vocational schools, through the different programs, through the McCanns, through the Triangle Techs, through the Bucknell, Susquehanna, Lackawanna College, on and on and on and on. We want to make sure that they know that there are opportunities out there.
Now, you have one more sentence.
No, go ahead. Nope,
your sound fine. Advice there is that maybe it's time to change careers, stay within your job, try to work your way up the ladder, maybe get a lower interest rate on your student loans. All sound advice. Where's a clearinghouse for job hunting advice? If you're in jobs that pay $15 to $20 an hour, you want to be $25 to $30 an hour, you might be willing to go back to school if necessary for skills that match up with these jobs that you say are here. Where's a clearinghouse?
You know, a lot of people think of the Career Center as the unemployment office. The fact of the matter is the Career Center is there for everybody. You can be currently working. You can be underemployed. You can be employed. You can be unemployed. They're there to offer those kind of services. On the other side, you were asking about student loans and financial.
This person should start at the unemployment office.
The
local Career Center.
Unfortunately, we need to get beyond thinking of the Career Center as an unemployment office. It really is a place to go to get lots and lots of counseling when it comes to careers. And then the issue you were asking about finances, that's best to go with a qualified financial planner. And we have many, many of them. Many of them are members of the chamber. Just go to gsvcc.org and look at our membership, and you can see all of the wildly well-qualified financial planners in the Valley.
All right, financial planners. What about career counseling? The chamber does not do that itself for individuals, correct?
Right. I would point the person to the Career Link or Career Center.
That's the
place I would go. And there are some private career counselors in the Valley. Certainly, if you have an entrepreneurial spark, that's the Small Business Development Center. I mean, if it helps, give us a call at the chamber. Any of the chamber employees would be happy to connect you. That's what we do. We make connections for folks. We'd be happy to make the connections. 570-743-4100 is our telephone number. gsvcc.org. website.
One of my good friends with a lot of exclamation points and capital says, please tell them we're called Career Link, which you did mention Center. And it's www.pacareerlink.pa.gov. So Career Link. And they got the mobile bus around here, too, from time to time.
Right,
the link, right, that goes around.
My apologies to you. I'm sure your friend is my friend. I was saying Career Center because I was so excited about we need to get beyond it being only the unemployment office. It really is.
Yes.
The resources there are unbelievable. Just give them a call.
All right. It's not on Chestnut Street in Sunbury anymore, the old jobless office. Okay. Upcoming activities. What's cooking with the chamber?
Yeah. Monday at the Miller Center, we have Senator Toomey in. We'll be doing a facilitated question and answer session with Senator Toomey. This is the time of the year we get to see our federal officials. And in fact, I believe Congressman Keller will be with him on Monday at the Miller Center. Go to the chamber for more details on that. Then Thursday, probably one of my favorites. I have a bunch of favorites, but one of my favorite monthly meetings, we call them membership meetings, on Thursday we're at the Lewisburg Hotel with our Networking with Nonprofits. And we'll have dozens of nonprofits there, and this is a chance for them basically to talk to each other, but folks that are interested to also also come by and learn about what's going on with the nonprofits. Then I just want to mention one more time, September 12th is our Economic Forecast Luncheon, and for you duffers out there, our annual golf tournament is coming up at the end of September.
GSVCC.org. We invite folks to stay in touch with the chamber. Thank you so much, as always, Bob.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Bob prepares us for this with his talking points and interesting ideas and a list of schedules and a color-coded map. I'm good at green, so I can see the shades of these. Just stay out of the blues and the magentas.
Okay.
That's always bad for me. Thank you so much. Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. We invite you to check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can see them in person on 4th Street in Sunbury, in Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. You can visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You can visit between, Lincoln and Jefferson and save a few Benjamins while you're down there. They specialize in all types of services at the Quick Lane. I haven't been to the Quick Lane in almost 12 hours, so they would just love to take good care of you at the Quick Lane. They'll pump you up as they did me with nitrogen. You can get state inspections, nitrogen for your tires. You can get the vehicle washed. Washed, aligned, body work done. It cannot be more full service than it already is. They even have a towing service. Decades of damage-free experience, making sure that your Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Lincoln, or whatever vehicle you have gets moved around without damage. SunburyMotors.com, the place to check them out. They would just love to talk to you and to make sure that you go away one of the many happy customers of the Sunbury Motor Company. Very brief news headlines here. Some inner tubers floated down and walked up, but got lost. That's the bottom line for some individuals in and around the Penns Creek area. Central Susquehanna Regional 911 says they floated down Penns Creek in inner tubes, trying to walk home last night, but got lost as they strayed away from the creek. By 10 p.m., they had volunteers from Beaver Springs, Mifflinburg, and West End looking for them. Found them all. No injuries. Everybody finished after a couple hours of that last evening. Very big news in Shamokin yesterday. An urgent care center will open, operated by Geisinger and their partner, Primary Health Network. They'll open the new center, which Sam Shikitano, Northumberland County Commissioner, says is ideal.
It's going to relieve the pressure on the Shamokin Hospital that's owned by Geisinger, and it's going to relieve the pressure in the emergency room there, because now these people in town will be in walking distance. It was something that we started 2 years ago with the Geisinger. Geisinger's been working with a company about building it. We've been working with Shamokin City Council, because I have two lots that we've been holding that we can turn over to Geisinger to do this.
Other announcements, state and local lawmakers say Moran Logistics receives $2 million toward building a Delaware Township Logistics Center in Northumberland County, and a $500,000 grant given to Point Township for their $1 million renovation of the Point Township Municipal Building. And Vice President Mike Pence was in town. He was in Pennsylvania again to urge the U.S. Congress to pass President Trump's rewrite of the trade pact with Canada and Mexico. He toured a crane manufacturing facility in southern Pennsylvania Thursday, a few miles from the Maryland border, and told hundreds of workers there the pact is a good deal for American manufacturing. It was Pence's second visit in 2 months to the presidential battleground state. called Pennsylvania. We'll take another quick break. When we come back, we are going to introduce one of the political candidates in the special election in the 85th District, Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay, and we'll be here, and we'll do as we often do with good guests. We'll have about 10 minutes of Q&A, just she and I, and then we'll have open phones where you can ask your political questions. I already see one email with the subject line, Dr. Kay, so we'll put that question to her and let her answer. Maybe the latest jobless numbers will be part of our topics coming up. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 9:30 in the morning. We have a new guest. Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay is here. We're going to talk to her for a short time. Then we'll open up the phones. If anybody has any questions, they can get through at that time. And we already have one emailed question, so we know one person has the email actually has a couple of questions in it. And so she's here, and we will ask her those. She is a physician, but I'll let her introduce herself just a little bit more. You've been here for some of your announcements, but we'll do this again. Welcome back, Dr.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here again.
Just introduce yourself if folks don't know.
Sure. My name is Jennifer Rager Kay. I'm running in the special election on August 20th for state representative. I'm a resident of Selins Grove, and my husband and I have a very excited and energetic six-year-old, and I practice at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center in Sunbury as an ear, nose, and throat surgeon.
All right, and full-time state legislator keeps popping up. It's a recurring theme. You were asked about that at the League of Women Voters events. We've asked you that here. Just define how you'll keep all this in the air. And I'm not going to do Joe's, plus you're a mom.
Right. Absolutely. No, I appreciate that question, but I don't think I'm all that unique. When you really look at every member of the legislature, over half of them have second jobs, not just other sources of income, investments, actual second jobs. So I'm not that unique, but you know, we can delve into what constitutes a quote-unquote full-time legislature. Primarily, aside from time spent at the Capitol, it also has a lot to do with basically just the number of staff members that you have outside of the Capitol. So when you look at the other states who are not considered full-time, it's not really a whole lot of issues with time spent. The other issue that I wanted to bring up is this time spent also constitutes campaigning. And, you know, my opponent has made the comment that he will not attend the League of Women Voters debate due to, and I quote, complicated logistics of running a full-time campaign. Well, you know, he's more worried about how I can do both jobs, but based on his own statement, apparently he's not going to be able to do both either if he's elected. The other thing I think we need to look at is the issue with how many days a representative actually spends at the Capitol. I'm fortunate enough to be about 50 minutes from the Capitol. I can get back and forth pretty easily, which is another reason why I think I can still have a medical practice and be a representative. In 2018, 47 days. So I think it would be nice if I only worked one day a week, right? 52 weeks out of the year. Hardworking people in our area have to work 5 days a week in order to get their full-time salary. However, representatives certainly are only there anywhere between 50 and 60 days a year.
Sure, maybe in Harrisburg, but they're in their local offices.
Absolutely.
And they're driving all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think that, you know, unlike other professions, a teacher, for example, as a physician, I dictate my casework. I dictate my caseload, similar to an attorney, for example. If I want to be busier with more surgeries, more cases, then I can dictate that. One in five legislators in Harrisburg are attorneys, so they can do the same as I can do. So I'm not that unique. The other issue comes to play in my job as a physician has nothing to do with conflicts of interest. When you look at the one in five legislators that are attorneys, they often sit on committees that they have a direct interest in. They can vote on things that are going to directly affect them and their salary. As a physician, that's not something I have to worry about coming into play.
You understand, though, why people are saying we enjoyed having a full-time legislator when we had Merle Phillips, when we have Linda Slagle-Culver, or Fred Keller comes to mind, or Russ. Well, scratch Russ. He ran the contracting business to a certain extent and did. So for those other individuals, we're kind of used to it. I'm very selfish. I want my legislator to focus on me and just me all the time.
That's fine. I certainly think, and again, you know, this title of being quote-unquote full-time being thrown around, you know, certainly, I understand the importance of the definition of full-time, but why can't a legislator do both? You know, when it comes down to the issues looking at politicians, and I brought this up at the breakfast the League of Women Voters hosted not too long ago, but maybe more representatives should have some type of employment outside of Harrisburg. I think it would help keep them grounded. Help keep them focused on why they're in Harrisburg to begin with. You know, you don't have to worry about all the financial interests of lobbyists potentially trying to bias your opinion and so focused on that one source of income. You know, as a representative, if elected, it's not about the money for me. I'm actually going to be taking a large pay cut, being able to decrease my workload at my practice in order to serve the constituents of the district. It's not about money. It's about the people and serving them. And I think, you know, when it comes to that title of full-time, we can look at Snyder County Commissioner Joe Kant, full-time commissioner. That is a job that's 5 days a week. Doesn't have to do with how many times he has to drive back and forth to Harrisburg. He's there 5 days a week managing financial interests of the county, yet he holds a secondary full-time job.
I think he's part-time. Well, he would certainly tell you he's part-time at the railroad. I don't know what, And I wouldn't know. I don't know how to define a full-time versus part-time job for that kind of thing anymore. Okay, so you mentioned something important, this idea of bias, this idea that lobbyists can take you to Penn State or fly you to Alabama or wherever they want to, and you're allowed to take all the gifts and these sort of non-bribes that you want. How will you stay independent? How will you be a transparent legislator?
I think I've already started that and proved that even in the 2018 campaign. Not only did I sign on to a campaign that is trying to get legislators to sign on to not accepting donations from, you know, corporations or what have you. And again, it's all in the semantics. Obviously, a corporation cannot just give you a check, but there's a lot of other ways that they can incentivize your vote. And that's something that I pledged in 2018 and I'll continue to pledge. I absolutely think there needs to be tremendous reform in campaign finance laws and regulations, and that being one of them. Again, as a physician, I work for a hospital so that never has to come into play in my mind. I get a paycheck to do my job, and my job is to do what's best for the patient. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to get X amount of dollars for doing whatever procedure. And I think that should be the same in Harrisburg.
You often talk about economic development as being the biggest issue. You often have a time frame where you can't really elaborate on maybe a half a dozen ways that you could help economic development. Now you have an open mic. We have 20 minutes left. Economic development, how are you really going to help make this happen?
One thing that I think has been a little bit of a priority for me recently is being involved and active in the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project's push to try to bring a community college to our area. Economic development is complicated because it not only has to do with increasing revenue for our area, but it also has to do with sustainability. There is no sustainability if there isn't any source to keep people within the district and help them prosper. And a community college kind of accomplishes all of that, all rolled up into one. We have educating the constituents, closing the skills gap, increasing job opportunities. You know, there's so many jobs in our district that are out there available. We just don't have anyone properly trained to actually partake in that. And not only that is we have no reason for students to stay in this area right now. We have two large, wonderful universities, but the fact of the matter is, once you receive that education, there really isn't a whole lot of opportunity for them to stay here. And I certainly think by starting with educating, we increase sustainability, and that's one way to benefit our area.
What about trades education? You can't get that at Bucknell.
No, absolutely, and that's one of the benefits of a community college. Not only is it affordable alternative education, but it enhances the opportunity for students, young and old, to go back, get educated, get trained in the necessary trades. It's, again, that sustainability. If you train workers for those proper working environments that we need in this area, for example, the trades for electricians and plumbing and welding, that's what makes a community run. If you can train your own community members to be able to do that, that's the sustainability of the district.
What about the vo-tech schools around here? Are they going to be part of the key to growth?
The issue with a lot of the vo-tech schools around here is that they are part branches of larger facilities. For example, we have, you know, everyone talks about, you know, the branch campuses of Luzerne Community College and some of the other technical institutions around this area. But with a community college, not only are you training the workforce to sustain the workforce, but the revenue from doing so stays within the area as well. And you don't really have that when you're having to travel to Shamokin or Watsontown. The money is not actually staying in this area.
To go to LCCC. But what if the counties kick in? I mean, that's what they're lobbying, is to try to get some county monies to lower the local tuition.
They are. And that's actually part of the community education project, is having the four county region all contributing to bringing this community college here. You know, it's one thing to go to a vo-tech school to receive a certificate, but if you want to be competitive in a workforce, you need to have a little bit more training and more opportunities. Those programs are limited to what programs they can offer the students in this area. A community college can offer so much more, but also retain them here as well because they're needed in the community.
At high school level, vo-tech schools, what about them?
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful opportunity. You know, I'm college educated, but that's not for everyone. And it's certainly, every student doesn't need to be college educated in order to help promote their community and progress as a citizen. One thing we have to look into is the fact that trade schools are there for a reason, and we're seeing a tremendous need for those in the trade workforce. You know, and you know, the fact of the matter is, you can look at a welder, for example. They can start out $80,000 a year. That's a phenomenal salary for someone just out of a trade school. And you have to look at the issue of debt from student loans. You don't really have that tremendous burden when you're able to go to a community college or a trade school like you do for someone like myself who went to a university.
We're going to open up the phones and the email. If folks wish to contact us, feel free to do so. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. And again, you can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We will take a break. We will be right back with Dr. Jennifer Rager-Kay.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. We got one caller standing by and one email. I get one more question. You visited, what, all of the municipal offices, all of the township or meetings?
Like I
the,
did.
Like the borough councils and the township supervisors meeting?
Yep.
You went to everyone in the 85th district? What
part,
is that, two dozen?
Oh, no, there's actually over 20. Yeah, there's...
Well, that's two dozen.
Oh, sorry about that. You're right. I had to do the math quickly in my head. You did get me. So there, part of my campaigning in 2018 was the important thing for me was to visit every municipality. And I did that by way of attending either the township or the borough meetings and publicizing that beforehand so that constituents could come ask questions. But it was more important for me to be able to be there to find out the needs of that specific municipality. We live in a very diverse district when it comes to needs for the different municipalities. You know, Lewisburg, Selins Grove boroughs, tremendously different from Hartley Township, Adams Township, those types of comparisons. And I think as a potential representative, you don't really know what the people of your district need until you go to them and ask.
And you did that. So Hartley Township, let's see, road issues pop up all the time out there?
Yeah, I was pretty astonished by the needs of our area, the basic needs of our area, and the lack of funding and support they have from Harrisburg. You know, you have Mifflinburg, for example, having issues with sewer, and state roads are one thing that's always an issue, but basic necessities, water, sewer, those types of things that we don't really think of, we take for granted on a daily basis, but the job of a representative is important. But if you really want to see where all the decisions are made, where all the hardships happen, you go to a municipality meeting to see the supervisors and the representatives of that municipality have to scrape and, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul sometimes in order to just have simple necessities for their constituents. And I think that it was an eye-opening experience for me.
Sure, without raising taxes. It was a real eye-opener for me to go to the League of Women Voters event in the spring when there was a primary race for Hartley Township Supervisor. And they had a long list of things that had to be decided and
they
that
do.
They were, you know, slightly different on in some cases. So that was important.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Lance, thank you for calling in. The candidate on the Democratic side of the 85th State House, Jennifer Rager Kay, can hear you now.
Okay. Why, knowing of your very much pro-abortion stance, if the New York State piece of legislation, which, well, legalized abortion for all 9 months for any reason, came before you, would you vote for it?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think one of the things that needs to be clarified.
Turn the radio up.
I think one thing that needs to be clarified is the fact that we're not New York, for example.
What are you saying, Lance? I'm
turn
sorry. All right, we'll put Lance on hold since he's obviously talking to someone else again.
One thing that I think
New York law
needs to be clarified is the fact that the New York law was not legalizing abortion for any person willing to come out up until 9 months. There were significant stipulations on that bill that are not known to the public. And of course, it makes for better media for someone to come out and say, yes, you can have an abortion all the way up to your due date. It has specific limitations for risks of mortality for the mother and the child. You know, if you've ever had to witness a child being born with something called anencephaly, meaning no brain development, it has nothing to do with killing a child because the child is already having a death sentence, unfortunately. And that's something that can be known ahead of time. And if that's found out ahead of time and a woman chooses to terminate that so that basically you don't have to sit there and watch your child gasp for breath seconds after it's born, that's the difference between, you know, you're not going to have a woman who has a full-term viable pregnancy being allowed to go out and kill a full-term child.
But you're a pro-choice candidate, no argument there. And what, 20, 24 weeks, where is that line that we seem to draw?
It's a gray line. It really is a gray line. And I think that, you know, again, as a physician, I've always taken the stance that any of those decisions need to be made between that woman, her partner, and their physician. Every case is unique. There is no black and white when it comes to that. You know, and if we want to get into the issue of religion and what I think is best for that based on my God, as a lay minister, again, I think that's something that needs to be made between their faith leader and the woman and her partner. I don't want government involved any more than the average Republican involved in my decision making. And certainly, I think this is one of those.
Lance, does that satisfy your question?
When I read that whole law, the loophole in the thing was if the woman wanted the abortion in the first place. That's the whole deal. It didn't seem to matter. I mean, those stipulations were all put in, of course.
No.
That, you know, the baby wouldn't be viable or anything like that. But it really left it open entirely to the mother.
All right, so
it was 9 months old laying there.
All right, so clearly that's one abortion law you wouldn't favor, Lance. All right, well, thank you so much. If that law came in front of you in Pennsylvania, you would approve it?
I certainly think that has a lot to do with the small print. And Lance does bring up a good point when it comes to the loopholes or the gaps, basically, in legislation. And it's something that has to be taken into consideration. And again, it's not a black and white thing. Yes, do you approve abortion up to 9 months? No, you do not. And certainly the New York legislation has fine details that I think that would need to be examined if it came across my desk in Harrisburg.
You don't favor late-term abortions that much as...
I am not pro-abortion. You know, I think that's one thing to make clear.
Okay. One of our listeners sends us a note signed by Duffy. He has a couple questions, and it says, you recently spoke at an event called Lights for Liberty at a local Lewisburg church. The theme was kids in cages at the border, but there was also reference to concentration camps and abuse by the Trump administration. One only has to assume that you compare the situation to World War II. Do you? Is that what you were talking about when you said concentration camps?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between those two scenarios besides timeline. You know, when we look at what's happening at the border, it's not a matter of whether I think someone should come here illegally. Of course not. There's rules. There's ways to properly come in. And the fact is the majority of those people that are trying to come here are seeking asylum, which is completely legal. They're trying to come here the proper way to seek help for a better life, better situation for their children. And what they're getting is not only separated from their children, they're being stuck in cages, both adult and children alike. And, you know, basically, what are we saying to people that their lives aren't worth the same as ours? You know, one thing I said when I spoke at that gathering was that, you know, borders are arbitrary when you look at the big picture. We are all on this giant rock together. We are all human. Our lives are equal. Yes, there's rules. Yes, there's regulations. But there's also human being decency. And I get a little choked up when I try to think of that because as a mother, I try to do what's best for my son on a daily basis. And I know that that's what these people are doing. They are trying to come here to seek a better life for their children. Are there you know, bad apples in every bunch, obviously. But for the most part, these are parents that are trying to come here to do what's best for their children. And not only are they not being able to do so, they're being ripped away from their children.
All right. Well, I would elaborate a great deal on this, and I have a lot of questions. If you are running for U.S. Congress, which you are not yet doing, so that'll take care of our immigration question.
I don't think you have to worry about that one. I don't think I'm going to go any farther than Harrisburg.
For the moment. One of the listeners, the same listener also says, why not hold an event to fight for the kids that are discarded by Planned Parenthood?
There are, absolutely. By me attending this gathering doesn't mean that I don't support, you know, life altogether and prosperity for our children. That's why I'm running. I'm sacrificing a lot in order to try to do what's best so that my child has a good environment to grow up in, a safe environment. And I certainly think that every child's life is important, and I'm not negating any other program that can be out there to do so. I would support it.
Do you think individuals should own an AR-15?
I don't think that it's about what gun you own. It's about what hands the gun belong to. And, you know, I've referenced this before. It's, you know, there's all different terminology that we can get into specifics for references to high power assault rifles, AR-15s, bump stocks. You know, that's a whole day's worth of conversation. But the fact of the matter is, it's more important that we pay attention to the hands that the guns are going to. And when we have issues of mental health, lack of assistance for constituents and for citizens with mental health problems, I certainly think the issue resides and whether or not that they're able to handle any firearm that they wish to own.
As I suspected, one of our listeners, Joe Kant, sends a note, says, my position at North Shore is and always has been part-time. There's no way I could have a full-time job while serving as commissioner. I'm fortunate that North Shore is very flexible to accommodate my commissioner duties.
As is my position as a physician, being flexible as well. It's given me the opportunity to be here this morning without having any of my patients suffer. And Joe is just one example. I mean, if we want to look at Senator Gene Yaw, for example, he's a partner in a law firm. He's also a solicitor. We have Representative Kurt Mosser, who owns several companies, is a director of a nonprofit agency. We can also look at Senator Gordner, who's our senator for this area. He's also a partner in a law firm. They're no different than Joe, and Joe's no different than me.
Let's see, other important topics that you wish to bring up. We're just about out of time, so I want you to have an open mic to say what you feel is important to our area.
I certainly just want to get across the fact that this isn't about a political party. This isn't about, you know, fame and fortune and attention and power. This is about doing what's best for our district. And when it comes down to looking at my opponents and myself, you know, I certainly think that if we have to choose between somebody that is a wife, a mother, has balanced all of those, is a physician, I have a job of service, and compared to somebody who is young, unexperienced, has no concept of public education, the importance of that.
He is young, 20-something, if I'm right. You're talking about David Rowe. He's 20-something,
correct.
So he doesn't have as much life experience as you. Lives with his parents to this very day, as far as I know. Is that true or not true that you know of?
It was recently brought up in the forum that was held the other morning that that he does, in fact, pay property tax. And we've done a little research to discover that he has recently purchased a home, which is phenomenal. It's exciting times when you'll be
There's
able
no
to
reason
be
a, he shouldn't suffer like the rest of us.
Absolutely. But when it comes to the burden of serving your constituents, you should be able to know the burdens that they hold, with worrying about their children going to public schools and getting a proper education, the burden of paying property taxes year after year after year. It's one thing to stand up in front of someone and say, yes, I pay property taxes, I just purchased a house. But without knowing the burden of doing that year after year, you can't possibly know what your constituents are going through.
Did he not attend public schools?
No, he did not. He was homeschooled.
Okay, so you're saying his lack of experience, and you've, of course, been through the public schools
and
college and so on. Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with alternative sources of education. Let's get that clear. There's nothing wrong with being homeschooled. There's nothing wrong with any of those alternative schooling. It's just the fact of the matter is the foundation of this area is our public education system. And if we can't have a representative that's experienced with that, knowing the importance of that, the funding that is needed from the education system, how can we have confidence knowing that that's going to be successful?
Well, you've been a business owner. You've never done that.
True.
Correct? Okay. I have to stop
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
That says something. He has sleepless nights, no doubt, as some many business owners don't sometimes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's always a joy to be able to speak with you, but I'm happy to be here.
Dr. Jennifer Rager-Kay, State Representative Candidate. This is WDKOK Sun Mary.